Imagine waking up, looking out the window, and realizing that a mega corporation has just quietly built an entire concrete storage shed on your front lawn while you were sleeping.
Oh, that's a terrifying thought.
Right. I mean, when you buy a piece of hardware, a laptop, a phone, whatever it is, there is this unspoken contract that comes with it. You own that physical space.
Absolutely. You hold the deed to the disk drive.
Exactly. You decide what software lives there, and you control who gets to walk through the front gate. But suddenly, we're looking at this tech landscape where those digital property lines are just, well, they're being completely ignored by the tools you rely on every single day.
It's getting invasive.
It really is. So welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are looking at a huge stack of tech updates from May 6, 2026. And our mission for you is pretty simple. We are uncovering the hidden costs, the growing pains, and the actual realities of your current tech stack.
Moving past the hype.
We are moving way past the glossy marketing hype. We want to look at the raw infrastructure, the corporate culture, and honestly, the literal dollars and cents.
Because, I mean, let's be honest, the honeymoon phase of the AI boom, it is officially over.
Oh, totally over.
While these tools are proliferating at just absolute breakneck speed, the underlying theme connecting all of today's sources is that we are hitting massive, unavoidable physical and structural bottlenecks.
I kind of knew it was coming,
We
right?
did, but it's hitting hard now. Whether it's, finite disk space on your local machine, skyrocketing computing costs, overwhelming technical debt, or just completely fractured corporate workflows, the tech industry is being forced to confront the harsh limits of scale.
Okay, let's unpack this, starting with that concrete shed on your digital lawn. Because the first bombshell we have to talk about perfectly illustrates those exact bottlenecks.
The Chrome update.
The Chrome update. According to recent reports, Google Chrome is silently installing a 4 GB on-device AI model called Nano onto users' machines.
4 GB.
4 GB. And there is zero user notification. There is zero opt-in. This massive file is just quietly downloading in the background and permanently claiming a chunk of your hard drive.
Which is, I mean, 4 GB is a really heavy footprint.
It's huge.
Right, for someone using an older machine or, say, a budget laptop, that is a significant percentage of the remaining storage just vanishing instantly.
Without asking.
Exactly. But we have to look at the mechanism behind the decision to understand why Google is actually doing this.
Right. What's their justification?
Well, they want Chrome to be able to instantly summarize a dense web page for you or automatically draft an email reply right inside the browser window. And they want to do it without sending your private data back and forth to their servers.
Look, I get it. I understand the privacy angle. But it's like lending a friend your car, and they secretly fill the trunk with 400 pounds of bricks just to test their new suspension system.
That's actually a great analogy.
It's your hardware. But they're using it for their own experiments. They are basically drafting your private machine into their corporate infrastructure. To me, it is a massive consent problem first and a disk space problem second.
What's fascinating here is the architectural precedent this sets. Browsers are no longer just, passive windows to the internet. They are beginning to treat user hardware as their own compute substrate.
Compute substrate. That sounds so
It
clinical.
does, but think about the alternative. Running millions of real-time AI queries in the cloud for features like auto summarize, that costs Google an astronomical amount of money in server time and electricity.
Right, burning through data centers.
Exactly. So by quietly pushing the Nano model down to your local machine, they just offload those massive processing costs directly onto your computer's battery, your RAM, and frankly, your home electricity bill.
Wow.
It fundamentally blurs the boundary between a tool you use and a tool that uses your machine's resources.
And that desperation to manage the sheer overhead of running artificial intelligence, it is rippling across the entire industry. I mean, developers are facing a severe financial reality check when they actually try to put these tools into production.
Yeah, the costs are terrifying.
We have this new data from Reflex that quantifies this perfectly. They ran the numbers comparing traditional structured API calls against the new wave of UI automation agents, specifically those using the computer use patterns.
And for anyone not deep in the weeds on this, UI automation agents are part of frameworks like OpenClaw.
Right, the open source stuff.
OpenClaw is basically a system that lets an autonomous AI literally take over your mouse and keyboard.
Which is still wild to watch.
It is. Instead of talking to a server behind the scenes, the AI literally looks at your screen, figures out where the submit button is, and moves the cursor to click it, just mimicking a human user.
But the finding from Reflex on this is staggering. Executing a task using that kind of UI automation costs 45 times more than doing the exact same task via a traditional API.
45 times.
45 times. Reflex is explicitly warning developers that if you are designing OpenClaw workflows, this massive multiplier is the new cost ceiling you have to design around.
Well, the underlying physics of computation really dictate that massive disparity, though.
What do you mean?
Think about how an API works. An API is essentially a designated digital door. A program hands a tiny, perfectly structured text file of instructions to the server, and the server instantly hands back the exact data requested.
Right, super clean.
It takes milliseconds and requires almost zero processing power.
But a UI automation agent doesn't have a designated door.
No, it is entirely locked out of the back end. When an AI uses a computer interface, it has to constantly take high-resolution screenshots of your desktop.
Over and over.
Over and over. It feeds those screenshots into a massive vision model to process millions of pixels, locate the exact coordinates of a specific button, infer what might happen if it clicks it, generate the mathematical coordinates for the mouse movement, and then take another screenshot just to verify the action actually happened.
That is so inefficient.
Extremely. You are substituting a microscopic instant data transfer with a continuous heavy neural network loop. The required compute power is just astronomical.
Okay, I have to push back on the implications of this, though. Because if running UI agents is 45 times more expensive, I am struggling to understand why Anthropic is simultaneously publishing a massive, highly detailed new guide for deploying Claude agents, specifically in the finance and insurance sectors.
Right, the legacy verticals.
Yeah. Those industries process millions of transactions a day. If the costs are really that prohibitive, why push so hard into these traditional document-heavy verticals?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Anthropic's strategy actually makes complete sense. Their focus in this new deployment guide isn't just about selling AI to finance. It's heavily weighted toward the deployment patterns and the strict guardrails they are baking into the system.
Guardrails to prevent what exactly?
It's to prevent hallucinations. High compute costs are completely acceptable to a corporation if the stakes of failure are equally high.
I see.
Think about the insurance sector. A hallucinated action, say, an AI misinterpreting an old, messy database interface and accidentally approving a fraudulent $2 million claim is catastrophic.
Right, that destroys the company.
Oh.
So they are selling the absolute certainty that the AI won't break the legacy system. The high cost is basically an insurance premium against catastrophic mistakes.
Exactly. You pay the 45 times compute premium because you desperately need the AI to see and verify complex, outdated mainframe interfaces that simply do not have clean APIs to connect to.
Because they were built in like 1980.
Exactly. The legacy system dictates the tool. Meanwhile, though, the companies building the foundational models are trying to engineer their way out of this cost trap entirely.
Right, like Google with Gemma.
Yes, Google just detailed some major updates with their new Gemma 4 model, introducing a technique called multi-token prediction drafters. Okay. And the goal is to meaningfully cut down inference time.
Okay, so if I'm understanding this right, normal AI models spit out text like a person typing with one finger, right? Like one word or token at a time, constantly guessing the next logical step.
That's a good way to visualize it.
That feels like a massive bottleneck if you're trying to run this on a local machine without burning up the processor. How does a multi-token drafter actually change that physical process?
So instead of guessing one single word sequentially, Gemma 4 utilizes a secondary lightweight model. This smaller model quickly drafts multiple future tokens, so like an entire phrase or sentence simultaneously.
Oh, interesting.
Right. Then the primary, heavier model acts sort of like an editor. It verifies the drafted chunk in one swift pass to ensure the logic and grammar hold up.
So it's double teaming the problem.
Precisely. Mm. It drastically reduces the latency and compute required without sacrificing output quality. This is a crucial engineering feat for running models at the edge, optimizing local pipelines so tools like that silent nano model in your Chrome browser don't completely freeze your computer when they try to summarize a document.
Wow. Okay, so we are seeing all this brilliant engineering to optimize the compute and make AI cheaper and faster.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual output of that AI, specifically when it comes to writing code, is creating an entirely different, incredibly painful bottleneck for developers.
The code explosion.
Yeah. Drew Brannig just published an essay called 10 Lessons for Agentic Coding, and his sharpest point revolves around a concept called integration debt.
Which is huge. The sheer volume of code being produced right now is completely unprecedented in the history of software development.
Right. And Brunig argues that when AI makes churning out lines of code basically cost nothing, the underlying problem shifts. Think of it like a kitchen. A traditional developer is a single chef carefully cooking a meal, right? It takes time, but the workflow is organized.
Everyone knows their station.
Exactly. But AI coding tools suddenly drop 1,000 chefs into that exact same kitchen.
Oh, man.
The raw generation of food is practically free and instantaneous, but the chefs are constantly bumping into each other, knocking over pots, and physically blocking the stove.
Total chaos.
Total chaos. The head developer now spends 100% of their time just trying to orchestrate the chaos. Workflows, review loops, and context management just collapse under the weight of this integration debt.
This raises an important question about how the tech industry handles maturity versus hype. Code is not just text on a screen, it is a liability.
That is such a good point.
It is. Every single line generated by those 1,000 AI chefs has to be secured, maintained, and fully understood by the human team running the application in production.
Because if it breaks, the AI isn't going to fix it at 3 in the morning.
Exactly. When you flood a system with cheap code, the true bottleneck becomes integration. And, you know, we're seeing a severe exhaustion with this kind of unmanageable complexity elsewhere in the ecosystem, too. A perfect example is the new critique from Tweed Golf regarding async Rust.
Oh, yeah. That piece was scathing, but incredibly well-cited. For context, for you listening, Rust is a programming language famous for being incredibly strict about memory safety, right? Ensuring programs never crash.
Right. Developers love it for that.
But they desperately wanted it to handle asynchronous tasks. Basically, instead of a program asking a database for information and freezing completely until the data arrives, async allows the program to juggle millions of other network requests simultaneously while it waits.
Which is essential for modern web services.
Completely essential. But the Tweed Golf critique points out that building that complex async capability to Rust's incredibly strict environment forced the developers to release a minimum viable product years ago.
An MVP that got stuff.
Exactly. And the issue trackers prove it has completely stagnated in that MVP state ever since. Production users are facing persistent missing features and sharp broken edges.
It's incredibly frustrating for them.
Right. Instead of the core language maturing to support the complex code bases developers are building, engineers are forced to quietly engineer their own custom fragile workarounds just to keep their production systems running.
So what does this all mean? We have massive integration debt from AI code generation and foundational features in major languages stagnating under their own complexity.
It feels like the industry is obsessed with the raw speed of laying bricks, but completely ignoring the heavy, unglamorous engineering required to actually install the plumbing and make the house livable.
That's it, exactly. The exhaustion with over-engineered systems is palpable among developers who are actually responsible for keeping platforms online. They are actively seeking ways to reduce the moving parts.
Which completely clarifies the premise of this next source we have from Distrutinish. They posted a breakdown asking if teams should run plain Docker Compose in production in 2026.
Right, which seems crazy to some people.
Well, let's break it down. If your software is a shipping container, Docker Compose is basically a single forklift moving it around. It is incredibly simple. For years, the industry standard has been to use Kubernetes instead, which is essentially an automated, AI-driven global shipping port with thousands of cranes managing your containers.
Kubernetes is miraculously powerful for massive global enterprises, but it introduces staggering administrative overhead.
Right. Distrutinish argues that choosing a simply tool like Docker Compose over a massively complex orchestration stack like Kubernetes is a purely pragmatic reaction to this exact integration debt.
You don't need a massive port.
Exactly. If you are just running a digital bakery, you don't need a global shipping port. Developers are aggressively rejecting the hype. They want honest criteria for what actually holds up under load. They just want the plumbing to work without needing a dedicated team of engineers just to maintain the pipes.
This friction of integration, the struggle to make disparate pieces actually work together seamlessly, is not just a technical problem with servers and code bases.
Oh, there's way beyond that.
It maps directly onto what is happening with human employees inside major corporations right now. The cultural architecture of companies is facing the exact same bottleneck.
Yes. Robert Glaser wrote a phenomenal essay on the reality of organizational AI, and he completely bursts the bubble on the idea that just buying AI tools makes your company more intelligent.
Right. Just sprinkling AI on it doesn't fix it.
No. He points out that handing every single employee their own AI assistant does absolutely nothing to elevate the organization's collective intelligence. The knowledge generated gets completely trapped in individual chat histories.
Because if a mid-level manager figures out a brilliant, highly efficient way to analyze a quarterly financial report using their AI assistant, that insight lives and dies in their private chat log.
Exactly. The company, as a holistic entity, learns absolutely nothing from that interaction.
It's siloed.
Completely siloed. And here's where it gets really interesting. Glazer concludes that this resulting insight gap is entirely a processing culture problem, not a tooling gap.
That's the hard truth.
You cannot just throw corporate credit cards at AI subscriptions and expect your company's communication to magically improve. Without a system to extract and share those localized wins, you are just creating 1,000 isolated silos of efficiency that never actually talk to each other.
And the financial markets are forcing companies to reconcile that cultural reality check right now. I mean, Brian Armstrong just announced a massive 14% workforce cut at Coinbase.
14% is huge.
It is. And the cryptocurrency market is stable right now. Token prices aren't crashing. This is not a panic move driven by external market conditions.
So the timing is highly specific. What drives a cut that deep when the market is stable?
It is the broader industry rationalizing its headcount from the unchecked hiring peaks of the early 2020s. Mm. Companies across the board are realizing that simply acquiring more engineering talent or purchasing thousands of new AI licenses does not equal more output.
More ingredients doesn't mean a better meal.
Exactly. The industry is shifting from an era of unchecked expansion to a painful era of forced integration. You cannot just hire another 1,000 engineers if your underlying corporate culture and code integration processes are fundamentally broken.
They're cracking the whip.
They are. They are demanding that the tools and the talent they already have actually begin working together efficiently.
We are leaving the growth at all costs era and entering the please just make the pieces fit together era.
Definitely.
Honestly, after covering corporate layoffs, the sheer weight of AI integration debt, and Google quietly commandeering our hard drives for local compute, I think we need a palate cleanser.
I am fully in favor of showcasing some low-drama technology.
We need to look at a piece of technology that just does exactly what it is engineered to do without any of the sprawling drama.
Yeah.
There is a project out there from Walzer.com called Empty Screenings.
Oh, I love this one.
It is a completely delightful single-purpose tool. The entire premise is that it scrapes AMC movie theater ticket data to find cinema sessions that have almost zero seats sold.
Brilliant.
It just surfaces these empty rooms so you can book a ticket and essentially get a near private cinema experience for the cost of a regular matinee.
Mm.
I love the sheer simplicity of it.
It's so refreshing.
It does one clever thing. It does it perfectly. And it requires zero massive corporate synergy or complex Kubernetes orchestration to function.
It is the absolute antithesis of the integration debt problem. It is a beautifully crafted single tool that respects its own boundaries.
Exactly.
However, even the most elegantly simple tools aren't immune to infrastructure problems. Those problems just shift from technical code to legal defense.
Oh, right. The legal stuff.
Yeah. The Notepad++ team posted a very detailed operational clarification today regarding a trademark dispute.
This was the issue with the lookalike project causing confusion on GitHub, right?
Yes. A separate project was using branding so similar to Notepad++ that it was potentially leading users to download the wrong software.
Likes.
The situation was resolved calmly, but it serves as a vital reminder for anyone building cool, single-purpose tools like Empty Screenings. The legal infrastructure of open source is just as critical as the code itself.
Because it's still the real world.
Right. Simply naming your project and hosting it on GitHub does not protect the brand identity. Unless you actively register the trademark, you have very little legal recourse if someone decides to clone your project and siphon off your users.
That's wild.
It is a mundane administrative chore, but it is absolute foundational hygiene for developers.
You really have to protect the plot of land you've built on, whether you are defending your hard drive from Google or defending your open source name from a clone.
Well said.
Let's pull all of these threads together for you, because we have covered a massive amount of ground today. We started out looking at the physical limits of hardware, with tech giants like Google silently moving a 4 gigabyte nano model onto your local machine to dodge their own cloud compute costs.
Then we examine the staggering financial bottlenecks of making AI interact with legacy systems, seeing UI agents cost 45 times more than clean APIs, which, you know, forces developers to completely rethink how they deploy and optimize models like Gemma 4.
Right. And we saw how the promise of infinitely cheap AI-generated code is actually a Trojan horse for massive integration debt, leaving developers desperate for the stability of simpler tools like Docker Compose over complex orchestration.
And finally, we saw that exact same dynamic playing out in human corporate culture, where isolated AI chat histories are forcing massive headcount rationalizations at companies like Coinbase.
Everything comes down to the immense friction of integration.
It really does. And as we look at the immense compute costs driving companies to push AI models directly onto user hardware, it leaves us with a highly concerning question for the near future.
What's that?
Well, if AI makes generating code and text practically free, but integrating that code and sharing those corporate insights remains an expensive, highly complex bottleneck.
Right.
Will the most valuable tech skill of the 2030s simply be the human ability to organize, edit, and connect the noise rather than creating anything new?
That is something to seriously think about the next time you hear your laptop fan spinning up for no obvious reason. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the boundaries of the tools you use every day. Keep a close eye on your remaining hard drive space, and we will catch you next time.